Welcome, dumbheads, to Mega Dumbcast's Summer Superhero Countdown. Last season on MDC, I read every goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited RPG, identifying the dumbest thing on each page. Now, to finish the job and lead into the next full season of MDC, I will be rating the additional categories of superhero found in Heroes Unlimited supplements. I'll be discussing one power category per day until the first day of summer in ascending order of dumbness. Now, let's get to the countdown with today's category. Today we're discussing the 12th dumbest of the supplemental Heroes Unlimited superpower categories, but more importantly, this is my first show back after Season 2. As you know, if you're a longtime listener, I've done two seasons of Mega Dumbcast, two full seasons. The first one about ninjas and super spies, which was kind of my first love as a young gamer, or not even, it was my pre-first love. You know, like, there's your high school sweetheart who's like the first girl you really cared about and had a real relationship with, and then there's the one who, like, when you were 11 and, like, you met at camp, and now when you think back on it, like, I really only knew that person for 2 days, and pretty much all I did was almost but not quite go swimming with her. Ninjas and Super Spies was that, a game I never really got a chance to play, but it was early life stuff for me, made a lot of characters for it. Then, in Season 2, I did Heroes Unlimited, which was, like, my first real, like, oh, God, I filled out reams of character sheets for Heroes Unlimited. That one is, like, my trash high school love. Like, oh, we only had one date, but it was like 12 hours long and everything happened in that date. A lot of ups and downs, kind of felt weird about it. Part of it was about witchcraft. That girl was a practicing witch. This may not be a universal experience, but my point is this. We've got two full seasons of MDC under our belts. I can say that. My belt and your belt. Thank you for inviting me into your belts. And now we're moving on to Season 3. But before we can do Season 3, we've got some unfinished business. Number one, on the role-playing front, we talked about Heroes Unlimited, but guess what? Heroes Unlimited is not as unlimited as it claims to be. As we sometimes had occasion to talk about during the season, you can't really do everything in comic books in Heroes Unlimited. Many things are conspicuously missing that you love from comic books, and other things that you don't like from comic books, and other things that are already in Heroes Unlimited, but why not rewrite them with a different name and sell them again? So we still got a lot of ground to cover. This ground was covered by Palladium in supplements for Heroes Unlimited, and one supplement for Rifts, which we'll talk about over the course of this little countdown. And order of business number two, unfinished, is how am I going to continue to pay for my debilitating podcast addiction? Season one was fun, purely out of pocket. Season two, you, the listeners, the dumbheads, were kind enough to help me out with a little fundraiser. I did that New Year's countdown, and I raised the funds to host the show, which is all I needed to do because I was living the swinging no-kids lifestyle, recording podcasts all hours of the day and night in my living room, which was not full of either baby toys or baby fluids. And so all I had to pay for was hosting. Now, things have changed. I've got a baby. This baby, she cries. I know many podcasts have a sort of mascot, a dog or a small child you can hear in the background. This is not that kind of situation. It would be impossible for me to podcast from home at this point. And so I've had to rent space in a studio. You may be imagining a very professional scenario right now, and I'll let you keep imagining that. But anyway, yeah, now it costs money to podcast. Every minute that I sit here talking to you about role-playing games or torrid high school dates with spooky girls who cast spells costs me money, and therefore, to do Season 3, I have to raise some money, and that's what this little countdown is for as well. We're going to finish up our Heroes Unlimited business, and also, I'm inviting everyone to go and contribute to the show. I have a Patreon now. It is at patreon.com/megadumbcast. There you'll find all the details. I need to have a certain amount of money coming in every month to pay my podcast bills to do Season 3. And you know what? These are short episodes, so if you're interested in what I want to spend your money on, go read about it there. For now, let's get on to business, and let's talk about the 12th dumbest, therefore the least dumb, of the supplemental Heroes Unlimited power categories. Now, this one comes to us, as most of them do, from Powers Unlimited 2. Now, you can probably guess that this is a sequel to a previous supplement, Powers Unlimited 1, although it's Palladium. Who the fuck knows? You couldn't be blamed for double-checking. Yes, there is a Powers Unlimited 1, and this is Powers Unlimited 2. It's not so much full of powers, like the last one was, as it is with power categories. So that's where we're going for most of these power categories. And this is like the first crop. This is like the extra virgin cold press power categories that we should have put in the core book but didn't. So this should be stuff we definitely want in the game. It should be high quality, choice cuts of neglected superhero. We'll see how that develops as this little countdown continues, but for today, it holds true. We're discussing the super invention power category, which I find to be the least dumb, although I'm still going to talk about the dumbest thing in it, because that's the format of the show, and also my unhealthy approach to life. the super invention power category. This is the most obvious, maybe the most glaring oversight from the core book. Comic books are absolutely fucking rife with inventors who had like one really good idea. There are basically three kinds of inventors in comic books, as we all know. Number one, you got your basic technical genius, right? This is like your Microchip, right? Like the Punisher's buddy Microchip, who deals with all his gear and computer stuff, who just like know technology as we understand it. Then you got your science heroes like Iron Man, and these are scientists, engineers, and things who have a lot of general skill, and they've got like a signature thing as well. So like Iron Man's got his suit, but if his suit doesn't solve a problem, he'll whip something else up, right? Then you got your one-trick science ponies. These are your Hank Pyms, right? Your Captain Colds, your Heat Waves, your Tricksters with a capital T. With your gimmick scientists, they really have one good invention and then they just ride it out on that. Like, that's the whole superhero career. I invented flying shoes, and that's it. Rather than trying to do a follow-up invention, you risk that sophomore slump, notoriously the bane of up-and-coming scientists. Instead, you just try to coast, you just try to elaborate on that first big hit, right? Take the chubby checker approach. Oh, you dumb kids like the twist? Well, can I interest you in twisting again? Let's twist again. Let's do La Paloma twist. Sure is snowing out there, starting to look like a twisting Christmas. This is where you get a guy like Hank Pym, as I mentioned, who throughout his career, over his many superhero identities, it's always the same invention, right? He really hit it big with Pym particles. He can grow things, he can shrink things. That's really one superpower, one invention. And while he's theoretically this great scientist, in actuality, he's the guy with the shrink pills. I'm not trying to besmirch the guy with the shrink pills. I'm not trying to besmirch the one-trick science pony. It's a great superhero archetype, and that's what the super invention power category is for. So let me paint you a picture of this power category. First of all, you know that you're in for a cutting-edge high-tech time because the name of the power category is printed in like an LCD font. And from there, we jump into all the basics. You get all the same stuff for this power category as you do for others. Attribute standard, hit point standard. From there, we get another very popular feature of Heroes Unlimited power categories, the sponsoring organization table, with all the usual suspects for who might have given you the money to make your shrink ray. Private industry, secret organization, military, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's the who is the character table. This is kind of interesting because this gives you three different options for how you came to possess this superpower gadget. Did you invent it? Are you the person it was sort of built for? Like you're a military weapons expert who was chosen to be the first operator of the prototype shrink ray? Or are you just a rando who ended up with this thing? Already right here at the top of our list, we can see some differences in the non-core power categories because back in the core book, this would be pure fluff. Heroes Unlimited power categories are full of shit you can roll on tables that seems like it would define your whole character, but actually makes no difference at all. It's just pure flavor, and you got to weave it into your backstory somehow. In these supplements, and I don't know if it's because of the input of other authors, or maybe if it's because the space pressure was off, like in the core book, clearly, the writing is undisciplined, but page counts are looming. Things are getting cut, right? Whereas in the supplements, it's like, how many Powers Unlimited books would the Palladium fandom support? Let's find out, right? Sometimes you get the sense that they're stretching to hit their 104 pages or whatever. And as a result, these things that would just be tossed off on a random table and never mentioned again in the core book actually create like different paths, different subcategories within the category. And that's the case here. Depending on whether you invented your gadget or were chosen for it or whatever, it affects your character down the road. So it's kind of a different feel from core Heroes Unlimited. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You got your relationship with the organization table. You got your motive for creating the invention table. You can choose a role for what kind of gadget this is. Like, is it a gun? Is it a backpack? Is it boots? Then you get the nitty gritty. You've got this one superpowered gadget. What does it do? First of all, its powers don't scale as you level up. Like Hank Pym, you had one good idea early in your life. And then once you ascended to the heights of science, you fanned out those wings, you took a deep breath, and you're just enjoying that slow glide down into superhero obscurity. It could take decades. So your gadgets aren't leveling up. Your powers aren't getting any better. So you could theoretically start with quite powerful superpowers coming out of your gadget, but then they never get any better. Now here's something really weird. There are all kinds of restrictions on what your super gadget can do, which is strange because like there's relatively a lot of buy-in, you know what, like there's a lot of suspension of disbelief. Maybe I'm splitting hairs here, but my feeling is, let's say a guy can just turn giant. That's one big thing I can accept. If you're going to ask me to believe in like giant pills, now I have additional questions. I need to know how these are manufactured. I need to know what kind of technology is involved. I need to understand why these heretofore unknown scientific principles don't seem to affect or be affected by the rest of science. At the end of the day, you just have to accept that super gadgets don't really make a lot of sense. You have to get into kind of a Silver Age mindset. A scientist invented a belt that, when you wear it, you can run at the speed of sound. Sure, whatever the fuck, science can do anything. Not here, though. In the super invention category, there are limits on superpowers. It's very specific, and it's totally out of keeping with the way Heroes Unlimited normally works. So, for example, you can't take any major alter physical structure abilities, so you can't have a gadget that turns you into stone or into gas or whatever. You can't have any magic involved in the item, which is fair enough because there's already a magic object power category. Again, this is that old school gaming sensibility. God forbid we have a power category for just belts that make you a superhero. As everyone knows, magic belts and science belts are completely different. Superficial similarities aside, the magic invisibility belt and the electro invisibility belt are a case of parallel development. You ignoramus, we need two power categories. And this is the most peculiar one. If the device gives you multiple powers, they have to be related. This is extremely perplexing, given, like, the whole rest of Heroes Unlimited, like, the random-ass superheroes you are encouraged, if not mandated, to play in every other power category. Nothing else in this fucking world makes sense. We got mutants out here turning into giant dinosaurs with no respect for the conservation of mass. We've got aliens with body plans and natural defenses that have no bearing on the environment they were created in. Evolution in the galaxy of Heroes Unlimited is just like a fucking crooked game of craps. Everybody's chromosomes are just hooked up to a fucking random number generator. Forget Punnett squares. Redhead, blonde, brunette. Your baby might be a fucking rhino. Your baby might be made out of bricks. Who even knows? Even deliberate programs to create specific kinds of superheroes often give you random-ass powers no one would ever want. These are medical procedures with absolutely unintended consequence, like unrelated. Like you wake up from being under for your nose job and they tell you, well, I'm sorry, your nose is still huge. It's also green now. However, you're 50% taller. Like nothing makes the slightest modicum of sense, but super inventions, all powers must be related conceptually. It's not bad exactly. I mean, it feels like a betrayal of the spirit of Heroes Unlimited, I guess. Like, before this limitation, we were all sort of living in a verdant Eden of bullshit in the Palladium oeuvre. Like, we don't know any better. We don't know how to write game rules. Come on, we're just playing around here. We're not so much designing games as we are frolicking among them. Now here comes this, right? The fucking apple of knowledge. Like, okay, at some point, someone understood this is not how you write a game. This is how you write a game. And now we're looking around and it's like, I gotta stitch together some fig leaves for the rest of this shit because now I'm seeing all these bits dangling. I'm feeling shame. I feel like I have to flee God now because it's all starting to look pretty tawdry. Anyway, it just feels weird. It just sits strangely next to the other rules. And then in keeping with the theme of much more coherent and sensible powers and power sets in this game, you roll for the number and type of powers you get, but selection is always up to the player. So there are no random power rules for what powers your invention has. Even if you're just some rando who found, you know, a ray gun on the street while you were running from mobsters or whatever, as is so often the case in comic books. Even then, the player selects the powers and must select a suite of powers that makes sense together. I don't know how to feel about this. I'm not going to call it the dumbest thing, because it would seem somewhat perverse after 300 plus pages of absolute scattershot nonsense to identify this one tip of the hat to logic, this one casual nod to reality as the dumbest thing. And also because, you know what, depending on your tastes, like, I love how random Heroes Unlimited is, even though it drives me crazy sometimes, even though it's probably not technically good design. You know, maybe for you it's a little too much, you'd rather play this power category. And just not have to deal with all that and be able to pick out your powers and have your superhero make sense instead of having to try to do this bizarre connect the dots of like, why did a god imbue me with the power to control water and talk to badgers, right? To me, that seems like a fun challenge, as listeners will know, but maybe it's not for you, so that's fine. I don't begrudge this power category for being a little more grounded. There's a table here that's almost the dumbest thing on this page, the repairing the super invention table. Now, most of these inventions are fairly sturdy, but then again, the power level in Palladium games is high and it's unpredictable. High-end superpowers can do a lot of damage. Automatic weapons can do a fuck ton of damage. So let's say you've got a super invention belt, right? The aforementioned electro-invisibility belt. It's got 180 SDC, which is very tough for a belt, but really bound to get wrecked sooner or later. This table indicates how readily your invention can be repaired, and there's a pretty decent chance that it's going to be either expensive or impossible to repair your item if it gets broken. There's a 50% chance that repairing the item costs at least $14,000 on average, a 20% chance that it costs in the tens of thousands, and a 10% chance that it can't be repaired at all except with hundreds of thousands of dollars and a world-class facility. So there's a decent chance that if you're just some rando, as opposed to the inventor or whatever, once you break your gimmick, then your superhero career is done. You go from cool belt man to used to have a cool belt man. That's a rough transition. Storm made it. You're not as cool as Storm. I know you're not, because no one is. But anyway, yeah, it is a comic book trope, albeit one that often does not go well for the hero in question, so I can't really call this the dumbest thing on the page. This is the least dumb of these power categories. It was something this game really needed. Super invention is pretty well implemented. It's a great thing to add to the game. The limitations on the powers, while sometimes arbitrary and somewhat out of keeping with the spirit of the rest of the game, arguably make more sense than the way the rest of Heroes Unlimited works. The dumbest thing to my way of thinking comes at the very end, when they're talking about skills. As we mentioned before, depending on whether you invented the gadget or just found the gadget, or are like a soldier assigned to the gadget or whatever, you get a different skill package. If you're an inventor, if this is your creation, quote, roll up as a hardware power category, electrical or mechanical genius, but without any of the usual gadgets, gimmicks, equipment, or budget/resources, because it has all gone into the creation of the super invention. Now, on one hand, this makes a certain degree of sense, right? If you invented a shrink ray, presumably you have other skills, right? You're not a shrink savant. This is not a situation where you were like a janitor at MIT, and, you know, the professor came in one morning and found that you had solved the diminution paradox on the chalkboard. And came to you and was like, you have no formal schooling? And you're like, no, I'm just a working class kid with a dream, saving up my janitor money, building a shrink ray, zapping myself with it in the garage, and petting some ants. But that doesn't make any sense. Right, you would have science skills. However, on a game balance level, you're really crossing the streams of comic book tropes here a little bit. Anybody can take science skills, but the hardware characters are supposed to be the premier technology skill users. As we discussed in the main run of the podcast, they aren't in some cases. Sometimes other power categories are as good or nearly as good as them if they roll very high education levels, but there's still a random element, at least if your GM makes you roll for educational level, which I think most do. What we've got here is a character option that I would say is virtually strictly superior to the standard hardware electrical genius. Because the electrical genius, as you'll remember, has all kinds of weird, like movie hacker powers, where you can hack like ham radios or space heaters or whatever has electricity and comes to hand. That's what they're good for, because the starting budget buys you nothing. Like, it's money, but all you can buy with it are like bugs for surveillance, that kind of shit. There's nothing cool to buy with your starting budget when you're an electrical character. It's really more about what you can find in play. It's about messing with stuff in your environment. So if you can trade away your useless budget, instead you can have a superpower. Instead, you can be an electrical genius who can hack somebody's car radio, but also you can turn into a giant, or also you can command all sea creatures. Like, obviously that's better. Listen, how are you supposed to hack the planet if you can't hack the ocean? The Earth is 70% water. I feel like there's a character concept in here for a villain called the Software Pirate, but I also feel like I'm not going to sit here and literally pay money to develop that idea. You can work that out yourselves. This is my point. The dumbest thing I can find about this generally quite good power category is that it's kind of too good, in that it takes the non-powered hardware character, whose thing is supposed to be that they lack the raw power of a superhero, but they have all these additional skills, and it gives them all those skills in addition to a gadget that's got a superpower. In a comic book, you can kind of elide the fact that, like, Hank Pym ought to be carrying a lot more weight as a superhero, since he is enough of a genius to create Pym particles. But in comic books, people are mostly limited to like one or two things, and his two things are shrinking and growing, and that's his quota. And we know he's a science genius, but like in a story that's not tightly focused on him, like in a group fight scene or a group book, he's going to be get big, get small man, right? We can't really do that in gaming, because you always have access to your whole character sheet, and it seems a little unfair to the other players to have a power category that like subsumes another power category. We've got that a little bit with the alien power category from Heroes Unlimited, but the alien only gets a little extra on top of their core power category. So like an alien hardware character gets a slight bump up in technology level, and then, you know, maybe they're like a little extra tough because they come from a planet with lots of sandstorms or something like that, but it's not huge. Here, you get the superpowers of a superhero and the genius of a superpowerless genius combined in one character, and that's maybe a tad much. However, it's very comic booky. This game has no fucking balance anyway. So yeah, this is the least dumb power category. It needed to be added to the game, and here it is. But it is only downhill from here. Join me next time when we discuss the next dumbest power category in the supplements of Heroes Unlimited on MDC's Summer Superhero Countdown. This has been part of MDC's 2019 Summer Superhero Countdown. A new episode will drop every day through June 21st. To support the show and fund a new full season of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG, donate at patreon.com/megadumbcast. Find or contact the show wherever you want. It is Megadumbcast on Podbean, Gmail, Twitter, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all other trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This theme song, used under a Creative Commons license, is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod, whose work you can find at Incompetech.com.